Postal Service refuses to help them. Senator Chris Murphy.
The Postal Service, maybe tiny little Scotland, isn't their priority, but you know, it's our priority.
He and a congressman introduced bills to force the USPS to designate just one zip code.
About 700 union hotel workers walked off the job at the Virgin Hotels Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. The union saying the 48-hour strike comes after months of trying to reach a new contract deal. This marks the first time that members of the culinary union are on strike in 22 years. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
So I have super parallel parking skills. And on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah. It's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its pre-diabetes awareness partners.
I encourage listeners to go to WisconsinCaregiver.org. You have access to online library of short courses, skills training, useful local resources, and support groups, all accessible from your computer, tablet, or smartphone. At WisconsinCaregiver.org, you can find information about how to join the Wisconsin Family and Caregiver Support Alliance. Anyone can be a part of this alliance to start making the difference in the lives of caregivers today. WisconsinCaregiver.org.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Nations that they're pursuing policies these voters have outlined as a top priority. More than 1,700 voters in 10 states were part of the poll. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Ho.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm Corey Hartman with your forecast for today. Slight chance of a shower. Otherwise, partly sunny and 66. A bit breezy out of the northwest. For tonight, partly cloudy, 49 with a slight chance of a shower. Chances for showers and thunderstorms on your Sunday afternoon. Otherwise, sunshine, 79. More storms Sunday night.
It's 48 at our studios.
Earl Ingram.
Monday morning, join me as I stroll through memory lane and take in the sounds of the Motor City. It's Motown Mondays.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is the Empowered Caregiver Show. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support, while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here is the Empowered Caregiver and your host, Liza Helen Brand.
You're listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hallenbrand. Later in the show today, I am going to be talking to the founders, John and Mark Cronin from John's Crazy Socks. If you haven't heard of them, you need to go to the website and check them out. It's johnscrazysocks.com. They have over 4,000 different pairs of cool and crazy socks. However, I'm not having them on because I feel like caregivers are in need of socks, but because of their amazing story. John has Down syndrome, and in his efforts to find meaningful employment, John and his dad, Mark, started John's Crazy Socks. In their first month, they shipped over 450 orders and earned more than $13,000 in revenue. They stated on their website, "We want to show what is possible when you give someone a chance. Every day, we demonstrate what people with intellectual disabilities can do, and we believe in giving back. We donate 5% of our earnings to Special Olympics as they've played a vital role in John's development." They have an amazing story. They continue to expand their charity partners by offering and creating socks with specific awareness themes, such as autism awareness and Down syndrome socks. And over half of their employees have different abilities. And to date, they've donated over $750,000 to charity. The founders of John's Crazy Socks have given TED Talks. They've been on just about every major news outlet, including CBS, Fox, ABC, the BBC, and PBS, just to name a few. So I cannot wait to learn more from them, more about them, and to say that we had them here on Civic Media. And, you know, John's story is a wonderful success story, but more work needs to be done in the arena of hiring people with disabilities. According to a February 22nd article of this year from CAP 20, disabled workers still experience unemployment at a rate twice as high as that of workers without a disability, and they remain considerably less likely to be employed. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics data release from 2019, which is the latest pre-pandemic year, which data is available. So from 2019 to 2023, there was a 10% increase in number of people in the civilian non-institutional population ages 16 to 64 that identified as having a disability. And that's no small number. That amounts to 1.45 million people. And it can be compared to, I guess it's almost a 2% increase in population of their non-disabled counterparts. So the need to continue to work on making workplaces inclusive and diverse continues to grow. There are more people being diagnosed with various disabilities. There are people with disabilities living longer. And, you know, we've really gotten away from these workshops or warehouses where they used to bus people with disabilities to work at below minimum wages, sometimes barely nothing. And we've decided as a society we want to be inclusive and find ways for people with disabilities to have their own homes, to be part of the workforce, to do everything that everybody else has the opportunity to do. And I couldn't be happier, having a son with a disability myself, that this is the way that we as a nation, as a society is moving. But it takes some creativity, it takes some thought. You know, there's some work that needs to be done in this process to have these employment opportunities available. And a lot of them, quite frankly, start with employers. You know, they have to have the open-mindedness and the willingness to learn and grow. And they will come to find out that this is actually a very smart business move. And if you disagree with me, I would strongly suggest that you check out John's story from John's Crazy Socks. socks, because it just goes to show, you know, he will tell you there are probably thousands of places that sell socks. So why is he thriving to the point where he's donated almost $1 million to charity? It's because of his mission. It's because of incorporating people with different abilities into the workforce and seeing that the value that that brings. So to help employment efforts here in Wisconsin, in 2018, the Wisconsin legislature passed a Partners with Business initiative. The goal is to help more businesses hire and support workers with disabilities. The Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities is the one that carries out this initiative. On the WBPDD website, which is a mouthful, they have a wealth of information on employment for schools, because schools are trying to get students with disabilities to find part-time job. The best experience is early experience. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more later. They have resources for schools, people with disabilities, and for employers. The Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities even has a whole guidebook to supported employment for managers and supervisors. And so this guidebook focuses on strategies and resources to help agencies create an organizational culture to support competitive integrated employment, including strategies for hiring, onboarding, training, and building partnerships. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the term competitive integrated employment, this means people with disabilities are getting paid wages similar to those without disabilities and work in the same work environment. So if you are a business owner that is currently hiring, or in some cases, always hiring, I would strongly recommend that you go to the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities, which is WBPDD, their website, and apply for one of their grants. They have actual grant programs. They want to partner with businesses interested in hiring and supporting workers with intellectual and developmental disabilities. These grant funds and technical assistance are available, but you have to apply. And I want to get this out there. The application for the next cohort is May 31st. So don't delay. Go to their website, fill out an application, and get the support that you need. And you will never look back. You will absolutely never regret it. I guarantee. One thing that the board has been working on as part of their integrated employment is reducing the need of job coaches. So vocational agencies are the agencies that employ job coaches and help people with disabilities gain meaningful employment and help them at their employment. But they themselves are always looking for job coaches. So that role can be hard to fill. So the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities solution was to create an environment in which employers can use their employees to help support people with disabilities. And they have training and support available to show you, to teach you how to do that. And then what they can offer is they can increase that employee, or perhaps employees, I'm not exactly sure how it works, but they can increase that employee's hourly wage, and it's at no cost to the employer. So you have one employee helping another employee with disability, and that employee gets increase in their wage for that service. It reduces the stigma of, I'm sure you've all been to places where you've seen a person with disabilities working and they have a job coach standing there right by their side just in case they need them. In some cases, that's necessary, and it's great that those people are there so that everybody can have the work experience. It's an important part of life to be able to be employed and contribute and you know, earn an income of some sort. But for a lot of people, it's not necessary. They may just need some additional support here and there. So this is a great opportunity to get them. And the integrated employment training utilizes current employees to support those with disabilities. And the cool thing about that is it also saves a ton of money on Medicaid expenses. Medicaid is usually the one that ends up paying for these job coaches. So the partners with business investment resulted in 64% reduction in the number of Medicaid-funded job coaching support hours. This saved Medicaid system on average $7,644 annually per person, and over $61,000 total for the year for the 8 participants. So as I said earlier, you can apply for this grant program in which the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities helps you. Last year, they had 8 participants, and those 8 participants that went through the program saved the Medicaid system over $61,000. So that is great, just in the sense Medicaid has a wait list and there's never enough money for Medicaid. And so that can kind of give back, and those funds can be used to help other people. So just to recap, that hiring a person with disabilities creates an inclusive and diverse workforce. It lands you a dedicated employee and provides a job for someone that is extremely grateful. And it helps reduce Medicaid cost. So those funds can be redirected to others in needs. So besides going to the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities, there are a ton of support and resources out there. If you want to learn more about this and what your business can do, or if you want to share it with a business owner, somebody that you work for, hey, have you thought about this? There's a lot of great benefits. The U.S. Department of Labor has information on their website, including tax incentives, DVR. Your local schools, like I said, are always hiring. So reach out and see what you can do to do your part to help employ people with developmental disabilities. When we come back, I am going to be talking with Mr. Caden Crute, a young man with autism who has been employed since he was 14 years old.
Hey, we're going to have a good day.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The weather impacts everything, and the history of windmills includes using the weather. In this case, the wind to help mill grain and pump water. The modern windmills that you see across Wisconsin today are often called wind turbines. These still use the wind, but now it's to produce electricity. And a new study shows that turbines can also lower the daytime temperature while keeping it warmer at night. The moving air protects crops from frost. It's a weather-ready fact. And Saturday, May 11th, is National Windmill Day. If you really want to celebrate, save June 5th through the 9th. Because it's Windmill Days in Baldwin, Wisconsin, a celebration of Dutch heritage and the windmills in the village. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. So a little bit later coming up, I am going to have John and Mark Cronin from John's Crazy Socks on. You're not going to want to miss their story. It is heartwarming and wonderful and just a great organization that I can't wait to learn more about. John has Down syndrome and was having trouble finding meaningful employment. So him and his dad, Mark, created John's Crazy Socks, and wow, it exploded. The things that they've done has been just amazing. But I've been talking a little bit about employment and employment for those with disabilities, and I was going to go on and on about it, but I thought, how boring is that when I can have someone that has experienced it, someone that has walked the walk. So I have with me today a young man, Mr. Caden Kroot, who is also my son, was diagnosed with autism at age 2. And I knew that employment was key. If he wanted to have any shot of independence and making out on his own in the world, it had to include employment and, quite frankly, being employable. So the mean mom that I was sent him out to get his first job at the age of 14. So, Caden, what do you think? Was it a terrible decision of me? Tell me a little bit about your first work experience.
How was that mean? I think that's good that you wanted me to get a job, and you know, I think it's good that I wanted to get a job. I mean, I know back then you would push more, but that's only because it was the first. It was my first time getting jobs, so.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes my attempts for looking out for your best interest kind of fall flat. But I'm glad that you mm-hmm. saw the importance of that as well. Why is having a job important?
So having a job is important because, because you got to make money in case you're going to school later in your life. And I started at the age of 14 years old. And I thought it was important because I could get job experience and, you know, see where I could go from where I was, you know, just at that point in my life. But, you know, I think where I've gotten work-wise ever since, I don't know, the school switch-ups and everything like that, I think I've got it pretty... I'd say under control, but also working towards some things, you know, things I want to do in life, I guess.
Yeah, you have some big dreams and ambitions and mm-hmm. are going to be starting a new cleaning job, actually, hopefully coming up soon overnight. But can you just tell us a little bit, what are some of the jobs that you've had over the years?
Yeah, well, I mean, at least I'll have a summer job, but...
Yes.
Some of the jobs I had over the years were, first I had my internship at Jet's Pizza at the age of 14.
Age of 14. And you said internship, and that's a great, thank you so much for bringing that up, because that's another thing I want to throw out to those people that are, you know, considering hiring people with disabilities. DVR offers an internship program. Yes, and Feist is the vocational agency that you worked with here in Madison, but they will offer an internship program. It typically, I believe, lasts around 90 days, and it's where DVR plays for the hourly wage of the person with disability, and the goal is to have it lead to a full-time position, but it gives you 3 months to work with that individual at no cost to you to see if it is a good fit. And that's exactly what Caden did for his first job. You did a 90-day internship at a pizza restaurant, and then you went on to work at another pizza restaurant.
Felbro's Pizzeria.
Yes. And then you landed what was your dream job at the time.
So at the time, it was Marcus Theaters, and I had to work at Felbro's during the pandemic because I had a job interview at Marcus Theaters at the age of 16. So I could have started working there my sophomore year of high school, but instead I started my junior year of high school. But then, Felbro's was going out of business anyways, so that kind of happened.
Yep. So you went over to Marcus Theater, mm-hmm. and I periodically would check in with them to see how you were doing, and they always said great, because you know what? Reliable, always on time. You took that job serious. You kept that place clean, and they even had you training new people along the way. So you worked your way up. And now you're going to college to get a paraeducator certificate. Want to tell me a little about that?
So ever since my senior year of high school, I think I knew what I wanted to go to school for. So I started going to Edgewood College to for paraeducator certificate, and I started taking classes for those my sophomore year, which was just this last year, and I did practicums, so I had to do experiences at other schools with younger kids, and that can also add up to like employment because they have you do that.
Yeah. It gives you job experience. Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Why should an employer give an employee that has a disability a chance, or give somebody with a disability a chance to work for them?
Well, to start off, it sounds like, so I was an employer with a disability, and it sounds like based off of like, especially Marcus Theater's reviews, that I did pretty good. But like, that's another sign, because other people with disabilities could do good at their jobs too. And you know, you shouldn't really focus on the word disability so much. Like, they could also have like good inner abilities.
They have other abilities. Right.
Other abilities.
And you have a lot of great other abilities as well.
And that goes just the same with any person in general. You know, it's like, I guess that kind of falls under don't judge a book by its cover kind of thing. Because, you know, that also kind of goes with other people as well, but especially with people with disabilities. So just think of it, it can't be as much different.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people with disabilities don't have a job or struggle finding a job. Do you have any advice from your personal experience that you would give to maybe one of your friends that has autism that says, oh, I want to have a job, but I don't know, I'm kind of nervous?
I would say it's not a rush. Don't think of it like a rush, because, you know, that can happen to certain people at points. But just, you know, see what jobs are a good fit for you. See what's a good fit for you and what you would like to do.
I like that, Caden. Let's expand on that a little bit. A good fit for you. Because if you have disabilities or some areas that you may struggle with, I think finding the right job is really important. And a lot of times, people that support people with disabilities just try to find them a job, any job, but a right job isn't important. For you, what does a right job look like?
So a right job would be like a job that you like wanted, or something that fits you, or just stuff that you maybe do in general. Like, for example, if you really like sports, maybe Dick's Sporting Goods would be a good place to work. Or if you like being active, jumping on trampolines, then maybe like Urban Air would be a good place.
Yeah, you're giving out exact locations, huh?
Yeah.
That is important, though. You got it. It has to be a good fit. So, Caden, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your job experience and what is up next for you and your job career. I think you can help inspire a lot of parents that have kids that are maybe coming up to be 14 on getting jobs. So, thank you, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there.
Bye.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A new U.S. report says Israel's use of American weapons in Gaza likely broke international law. Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen of Maryland believes Congress should dig deeper into the report.
They entirely ducked the question of the conduct of the Netanyahu government with respect to humanitarian aid.
Fighting around Ukraine's second largest city of Kharkiv is intensifying after a major Russian offensive. The U.S. voted no on a U.N. resolution that supported Palestinian statehood and full membership at the U.N. The next major witness in Donald Trump's criminal trial in New York is expected to be his own former lawyer, Michael Cohen, due to take the stand next week. Police overnight breaking up a demonstration outside of the president's residence at the University of Pennsylvania, and a shelter in place at Portland State University came to an end. All of this after pro-Palestinian encampments were cleared from at least three college campuses on Friday. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers' Gasser gets the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee with an 11-2 win over St. Louis Friday night. Willy Adames with three doubles, scoring two runs and a pair of RBI. Brewers lefty Robert Gasser, making his major league debut, pitched six scoreless innings, only the fifth Brewer to do so in his career debut, including Jim Slade in 1974 and Brandon Woodruff in 2017. The 24-year-old Gasser came to Milwaukee in the Josh Hader trade and was more than ready to finally get a shot at the majors. Pat Murphy:
I think Gas came with a little chip on his shoulder, like I should have been here last year in my mind. They made me wait, and maybe that's something that we can think about sometimes. Maybe we need to make some guys wait. It's great to see they get here, they pay their dues, they get here, and they got a little edge to them when they get here.
NBA former Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer is the new head coach of the Phoenix Suns, replacing Frank Vogel, fired after just 1 year in Arizona. Coach Bud to sign a five-year deal worth $50 million. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm Corey Hartman with your forecast for today. Slight chance of a shower, otherwise partly sunny and 66, a bit breezy out of the northwest. For tonight, partly cloudy, 49 with a slight chance of a shower. Chances for showers and thunderstorms on your Sunday afternoon, otherwise sunshine, 79. More storms Sunday night.
It's 51 at our studios.
I'm Deborah Green, a Midwest girl born and raised. I began my career as a social worker, and now I serve as a permanent substitute teacher with a school in Wisconsin. My work with students and youth spans over 30 years. After listening to me talk about my vision for young people, others know how passionate I am about their success. Students are capable of taking on the world and doing something with it. So let's talk about it. Straight talk, no chaser, good people. Enjoy kicking it in the kitchen with me, Deborah Green.
The road construction season is underway, and you've probably noticed orange cones and barrels are back too. The world's leading manufacturer of these safety products is Lakeside Plastics. The family-owned business is based in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Do you know why the cones were originally created more than 75 years ago? As a safety marker to keep drivers away from newly painted lines on the road, as an object for drivers to weave around to mark the tops of houses for small airplane pilots. The answer's coming up.
Message that we can get out. We need to have a safe work zone.
Safety is number one for Eric Witt. He's the I-41 project supervisor for the work between DePere and Appleton, where you'll be seeing a lot of those orange cones. Did you guess why the cones were originally created? To keep drivers away from wet paint lines on the road. Now, cones like those made at Lakeside Plastics in Oshkosh warn about any kinds of hazards ahead. That is one safe slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday's show, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot hangs out to tell us what the week's forecast looks like. And then Peter and Tracy Flukey stop by before their trip out to New York on their tandem bike.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hallenbrand. I am joined now with John and Mark Cronin from John's Crazy Socks. If you haven't heard of them, you need to go to their website and check them out. It's johnscrazysocks.com. They have over 4,000 different pairs of cool and crazy socks. However, I'm not having them on because I feel like caregivers need crazy socks, although I have to say, it wouldn't hurt. I am having them on to share their wonderful and an amazing story. John has Down syndrome, and in efforts to find meaningful employment, John and his dad, Mark, started John's Crazy Socks. In their first month, John's Crazy Socks has shipped over 452 orders and earned more than $13,000 in revenue. Wow. So I just want to jump right in. I was going to say head first, but we'll jump in Crazy Socks first and welcome Mark and John. Thank you so much for joining me today. It is a real honor to be able to learn and grow from you. So I am so happy that you're here.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Lisa. I'm really, really pleased on your side.
We're excited to be here with you.
Yes, yeah. So I have to start out by asking, why socks?
Why socks? It's fun, it's colorful, it's queer. It always made me be me. I want Crazy Socks my whole life.
We used to drive around looking for these socks.
They are fun, yes. Yeah.
So when the time came to try to figure out, you know, and it's a little story about how we even got to the point of wanting to start a business. When John suggested we sell socks, it was like, oh, okay. Well, if you love them that much, surely other people do too. And we could find those people.
They do. They're out there. And you know what? I love it when somebody has a crazy pair of socks on. Because you're right. It's fun. It adds fun and joy to your day. So, John, great idea. Love it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So I saw on your website that you have five different pillars that you kind of operate by. What are your five pillars and how do you think they've contributed to your success?
What are the five pillars?
It's been in hope, give it back, fun projects you can love, make it personal, make it quickly to work.
And we have to put this in a context. We have a different type of business model. It's a social enterprise. So we have both a social mission and a business mission. They feed off of each other. And overall, what are we doing?
Spreading happiness.
So you got to know your purpose. You got to know your values. We built the business on those. That's what those pillars, those values enable us to connect with our customers, but it also differentiates us in the marketplace. If all we're doing is selling socks, you're not talking to us. There are a gazillion companies selling socks. And at that point, what do you say? Ours are better than yours?
I never smell like yours.
They don't smell like yours. No, but for us, we may be the world's largest sock store, but at the end of the day, we're not really a sock store. The socks become the physical manifestation for the story and the mission. Does that make sense to
that,
you?
That makes sense. And John, can you rattle off those five pillars again real quick?
Sure. It's spreading hope.
Spreading hope.
Give it back.
Giving back.
Fun projects.
Fun.
You can love.
Okay.
Make it personal.
Make it personal.
And I make it quickly to work.
So it's kind of simple. We could walk through them, right? If our mission is to spread happiness,
yes,
we have to start at home. So that's where that fifth pillar comes from. Let's make this a great place to work.
Great.
How can we spread happiness if our colleagues aren't happy?
Right.
And that's make sure we offer people a mission worthy of their commitment. Something bigger than ourselves.
Yeah.
Something that matters. Something you can feel good about. And it can't just be we're going to make money. And don't get me wrong. We want to make money.
Sure.
It turns out we like to live indoors, right?
Oh, we do.
And you like lobster rolls, and those are expensive, yeah. You know. But you got to have that.
Yeah.
You got to make sure everybody knows why his or her job matters. There's no cog in the machinery. There's no make-work job. Everybody's job is connected to that mission. Our entry-level job are the sock wranglers in our warehouse. If I go to any of our sock wranglers and ask them, what are you doing? They're going to tell you, we're spreading happiness.
Love it. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I just feel like I want to throw out there those five pillars. Those are really things that we should all live by. I mean, they might take little tweaks, but I think you guys, you nailed it.
Well, every company, I would suggest everybody, every organization, and you got to know your purpose. You got to know what you, why you're doing what you do. You know, the author Simon Sinek talks about, you know your why. It's not what you do. It's why you do it. And you got to know your values. And you know the values are real when they cost you money. Ah. But that, when the hard times come, and they will come, right? When it becomes difficult, that's what keeps you going. Your purpose becomes your North Star. Your values become the rails that keep you going in the right direction. And you, each company is going to have a different set of values. You know, we love working directly with our customers. Google's not going to have that. They don't care about working with their customers. That doesn't make them a bad company. You got to know who you are.
Absolutely. And you're right. It is near impossible to get a hold of anybody at Google. But, you know, along with your purpose and your mission, you have given some TED Talks about employing people with disabilities. And if and you know, having a child myself with a disability, I know I personally could go on and on about how important it is and all of the values around it for all parties involved. But if you had to narrow it down to like an elevator pitch, let's call it, why is it good for business?
It's simple. It's not altruism. It's good business. Business benefit because they get great employees. They get people that bring a different perspective, and it adds vitality to the business. We don't make the moral argument. We think that's obvious.
Right.
We make the business argument. The businesses that learn how to hire people with different abilities have a competitive advantage over other businesses. Do it because it's going to help your business.
Well, what are some of the benefits of hiring a person with different abilities that you maybe don't see in a typical worker?
So, you know, I'll take our situation. And much of our employment involves running a pick and pack warehouse. In much of this country, we have a growing labor shortage. You're in Madison, Wisconsin. Hmm. There are not enough workers to fill all the jobs in Madison, Wisconsin.
Correct.
You know, I hear all the time from employers, I can't find enough good people. Well, at the same time, we have this vast untapped pool of labor, people with different abilities that are ready, willing, and able to work. And yet only 1 in 5 people with a disability are employed in this country. It's awful. But if you tap into that pool, now we fill all of our jobs. And here's, you know, a concrete example. So we've been around a little more than 7 years.
Yes.
We've hired for our warehouse from 3 different labor pools. People with different abilities, moms, there are some dads in there, but we schedule people in 4-hour shifts so that you could put your kid on the bus in the morning, come to work, be home to pick your kid up in the afternoon. And then general laborers who are, you know, starting at $16.50 an hour and want to be treated well. By far, the best labor pool of people with different abilities. They want to be here. They're focused. They don't miss work. They care about what they're doing. They do a great. They do great. But here's I'll give you one other example from kind of the other end of the spectrum. You know, we're a small business. IBM. IBM has started a neurodiversity hiring program. They started in one country. They've expanded it to 11 countries. So one of the people they hire is a guy named Dylan Ratliff. They assign him to a client site to work on some quality assurance program. He calls him up after 2 weeks. There's a team of people already working there. Says, would you mind if I made some alterations in the code? So people have been there for years. He had a different insight, a different view, overhauled the code, got new patents for the company, and was named Employee of the Year.
Wow.
Because not only was he competent, but he had a different perspective. And when we have those different perspectives, that adds strength, vitality to our businesses.
Absolutely. And I have to take a step back with this being the Empowered Caregiver show and give a shout out not only for the work that you do making in a diverse and inclusive workplace, but also the comment that you made about working moms and dads, because along with supporting people with disabilities and getting employment, I'm a strong advocate for creating caregiver-friendly workplaces, because so many caregivers themselves have trouble finding or maintaining employment due to their caregiving needs. And it sounds like you really took that into consideration.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, you have to be one of the things we urge businesses to do, even no matter how small the business, is to recognize the capabilities they have and the impact they can have. You're a small business. If you hire just five people, that's not just five people. That's five families.
Right.
That's five families in a community. And so that gives you a power and a presence, but it also means you have to be cognizant of the whole person, of the person and their family. And how is that going to operate? And how can you support that?
That makes such perfect sense, and thank you for saying it. And you know, your values that you're talking about, I think you can see the results, right? You guys are thriving and growing at the same time. When you merge those two words, I guess is throwing, but you're not throwing. You're thriving and growing, and I've got to feel like it has to do with what you're speaking to on the employment end, not only employing people with disabilities, but really taking into consideration all your workers and who they are and the needs that they have.
Look, we depend upon our colleagues. Without them, we're nothing. And so we have to, nothing we're talking about is rocket science. It's common sense. Just treat people well. Respect them, treat people well, and the payoff is huge.
Absolutely. And I want to talk a little bit more about that when we come back, about the impact that your organization has made. But I hesitant to open that can of worms when we're coming up on a short break. But what I do want to talk about is a little bit about some of your products. Can you let people know where to go to get your socks and maybe some of your top sellers or what do you have the spotlight on this month?
Where do they go?
Okay, John's Crazy Socks.
JohnsCrazySocks.com.
You know, this month we have all sorts of things happening. Like, we got graduation, so we have graduation socks. Oh, yeah. We just passed Mother's Day. We'll have Father's Day coming up. Well, I shouldn't say it's this Sunday is Mother's Day. So you have graduations, weddings, teacher appreciation socks. It's nurses, celebrate Nurses Week. We have healthcare superhero socks that celebrate nurses and raise money to support the American Nurses Foundation.
Socks for every reason, socks for every season. When we come back, we are going to talk more with John and Mark Cronin from John's Crazy Socks.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office. 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. I am joined here today with John and Mark Cronin from John's Crazy Socks. If you have not heard of them yet, you need to go to their website and check them out, johnscrazysocks.com. And I have them here today not only to share their wonderful products and that they offer, all the different crazy fun socks that they have for every season and every reason, but I have them here because they have such an inspirational story of hope and empowerment, and they're eager to share it. And I couldn't be happier because it's a story that I could listen to again and again. So, John and Mark, your success of John's Crazy Socks has been huge, and I am so happy for you. And I know that giving back is really important to you and your mission. Your giving back has greatly impacted many different nonprofits. Can you talk a little bit about the people that you were able to help along the way?
What's our mission?
Spread happiness.
And what do you say are the keys to happiness?
Encourage you and your brother.
So the more we can do for others, the better off we are. We're imbued in the organization with the sense of gratitude of we're so fortunate to get to do what we do. So here's an example. We've created a whole line of what we call awareness socks that celebrate causes and people and raise awareness and raise money for those causes. So what were the first awareness socks we had?
Down syndrome awareness socks. Mm-hmm.
Down syndrome awareness socks. And John designed the very first pair. And those raised money for the National Down Syndrome Society. We have autism-themed products that raise money for the Autism Society of America. Cerebral palsy-themed socks raise money for UCP. It's not enough to just sell stuff. You got to give back. And that's part of our commitment. It's part of our core values. But it's also something we share with our customers. When you buy from us, you become a philanthropist. You know what the giving back is going to, right? And we start, before we talk about Special Olympics, we start by pledging 5% of our earnings to the Special Olympics.
Yes.
So now we've donated over $750,000.
Wow.
To our charity partners, and more than $150,000 to the Special Olympics. John has donated more to the Special Olympics than any one Special Olympic athlete.
Congratulations, John. That's awesome.
And as you like to say, we're just getting started, right?
Wonderful. I am thrilled and so happy that this all came together and worked out well for you. I'm sure there were many challenges and road bumps along the way. But if a parent at home would like to start a business with their child with different abilities, using your experience, could you answer maybe three important things to know right out of the gate regarding the first steps if you want to do this at yourself?
One, what are you looking to do? Because there's a whole spectrum here. Are you looking for something that will engage your child and keep them kind of busy and they can show things to people? That's great. That's a hobby. Are you looking for something where they can get a little bit, you're going to cover costs and maybe get a little bit of money coming in? Okay, that's great. You can do that as a craftsperson, as a single person. Are you thinking of creating a business or a role that's really going to provide a true income source for your child? And is it just your child or you're going to grow a true business? So you have to know where you are on that spectrum so you know what you're willing to do and set up. That's one. That's, I think that's the starting place.
That makes good sense. So I would imagine a lot of people kind of go into this seeing, oh, we'll see what happens, right? And you're saying, no, you kind of have to know what you want your outcome to be before you go right into it.
Right. So when we started John's Crazy Socks, which was out of necessity, right? John couldn't find meaningful work.
Right.
You were the one who said, all right, he's a natural entrepreneur. I can't find a job. What'd you say?
I said, I want to create one. I want to make one. I'm going to be with my dad. And nice fellow something together.
But when we set it up, we said, okay, we went the lean startup route. Let's get something up quick and dirty, but test the idea. But it had to succeed as a business. Where we were at, if it wasn't going to do that, we weren't going to keep doing it. That's not to say that's right for everybody.
Right.
And you have to be willing to, you have to recognize how much time you're willing to commit to this. Is it something your child can do alone? Most likely not. Particularly if you want to grow something. So who's going to put the time in to do that? Those are key things. If you do want to grow the business, if you really want a business, to me, there's a sweet spot. You got to find something that you know about or love. You got to find something that people are willing to pay for. And that's key. Your friends will, you know, I don't want to say they're going to lie to you, but friends and family will say, oh, this is wonderful. You need strangers willing to reach into their pocket and pay for whatever you're selling, be it a service or a product. And then it's something you got to be able to replicate. And it's the overlap of those three circles. That's your sweet spot.
Makes perfect sense. What about avoiding the unexpected? What is one thing you wish you would have known before you started this whole big adventure?
We should have sought capital earlier. And that hurt us not having, given the size we were growing to, not having capital behind us.
That makes sense. And, you know, we only have a minute left, so I want to be able to share a little bit more about your socks. Now, the producer, Aaron, had said that he found that on your website that there was compression socks, and he was happy to learn that. I'm not even sure I know. I've seen them. I'm not sure I know what they are. So tell us a little bit more. Let's end on what are your products, and then again, where can people find you?
Well, we have something for everybody. You can personalize. You know, so what type of different socks do we have? We got
crew
socks.
Crew socks, knee highs, ankle socks, shorties. We have the athletic socks.
With different themes and images so you can personalize them. Yeah. So we have that selling direct to consumer through our website. We also sell to businesses. We make custom socks. And we've made those for Microsoft, Special Olympics, for all sorts of organizations. And we're now starting to get into retail stores. So if you know somebody who's got a store who wants to carry our product, they can.
Absolutely. I will. Thank you so much for being...
And where do people find us?
Yeah, I'll go at johnscrazysocks.com.
johnscrazysocks.com.
Thank you so much for joining me today. You have been such an inspiration. I learned a lot. And thank you for everything that you do.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we play another round of three headlines and a lie you can play along at home. And then we talk Harleys this summer with Tim McCormick from the Harley Museum. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Save big money on roof and floor trusses. Now at Menards, we carry a large selection of pre-built residential and post-frame trusses to complete your next building project. Bring your building plans to your local Menards or upload online and start designing your trusses today. Save big on trusses at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Dave Packer. A new report released Friday by the Biden administration finds Israel violated international humanitarian law in Gaza in its use of American-supplied weapons, but lacks enough information to officially make that conclusion, given the nature of the conflict in Gaza. The United Nations General Assembly adopting a resolution recommending the Security Council give favorable consideration to full Palestinian membership. Gilad Erdan, the Israeli ambassador to the UN, telling the assembly Palestine would be Hamas-run.
You have opened up the United Nations to modern-day Nazis, to genocidal jihadists committed to establishing an Islamic State across Israel and the region, murdering every Jewish man, woman, and child. It makes me sick.
The U.S. was one of the few member nations that voted against the resolution. A solar storm giving millions of Americans as far south as Alabama a glimpse of the northern lights. This is ABC News. We're now hearing from the first responders who showed up moments after a freighter hit the Key Bridge in Baltimore, then collapsed into the harbor. ABC's Terry Moran.
The moment a police marine unit first arrived on the scene of that deadly bridge collapse in Baltimore.
Key Bridge is down.